True story. We used to bring kids up to another camp in northern Wisconsin, which will go unnamed. All right, we're good. And we were getting our students ready for that, and we said, "Hey, if you're on the if we're on a trail ride with the horses, and just do whatever the counselors and the leaders tell you. Just know, though, if you come across a bear, check for the baby bear, because you don't ever want to get between a mother bear and her baby bear." And our student said, "What are you doing in the middle of the woods anyway?" So you didn't really understand that, like, no, when you go to camp, you're just in the middle of the woods. So hopefully you've been enjoying your time in the middle of the woods. We started talking last time before the boy-girl time about following Jesus and how Jesus has this book. And when we start to follow Jesus, he calls us into an eternal kind of life. He welcomes us into this eternal kind of conversation where life is going back and forth between us and Jesus. And we talked with the Lord's Prayer about maybe some framework to kind of guide and direct us. And then we talked about, so how do we ultimately, what does it mean to learn from Jesus? If you're following Jesus, that makes him your rabbi. And what does that mean to learn from him? And that's where the Bible comes in. And we looked really briefly at how the Bible is all about Jesus. He's the main figure. He's the main story of it. He himself affirmed that the Old Testament was from God. It's authoritative. It's about him. And then the entire New Testament is both about him, and then it's about those that were closest to him that he commissioned and said, "Go on now and take what I've been teaching you and take that to the nations." So that was like the short answer of why I trust the scriptures. And as you get older, there are books that are just way too thick that go into like all that stuff. So I hope that you read books. But what I wanted to do with our time this morning was to talk about what does that actually look like then? So if I'm going to call Jesus my rabbi, and I want to follow him, and I want to learn from him, and this book is from him, and it's how he talks to us and how he teaches us, so what do I do with it? I mentioned briefly when I shared my life story with you that when I started to follow Jesus seriously, I knew Christians read their Bibles, but I didn't know like what they do or where they go with this thing. And I don't know how much you ever like explored your Bible, but it's not like other books. And I'm sure you've heard that before. On three, everybody shout out the name of your favorite book. Ready? One, two, three. Fantastic. Somebody said The Hobbit, right? Man, it must have been just me. But here's the thing about like your favorite book most of the time. It has this start, right? And then you're introduced to the characters, and then it leads up to a conflict, right? And then there's like this resolution of conflict, and then it has like the thrilling ending, mostly. And the Bible is kind of like that, except that though it has this long story from garden to garden, in the middle of it, it gets kind of crazy. And I don't know if you've ever tried this. When I was a kid, my dad decided he had seen a lot of success in his life by reading a book by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Anybody read this book? Okay. Yeah, he was like, I think he told me some preposterous amount of money, like, "I'll give you $10 if you read this." And I was at the age where like, $10? So I read that sucker in like 4 days. And then my dad was like, "Why don't you try the Bible next?" And so first I was like, "Well, how much money are we talking now?" Right? None of you would do that because you were much more spiritual as a child than I was. But I remember writing down, because I'm a very task-driven person. I love making lists. I wake up in the morning and I write down number one, make a list. Number two, cross off having done number one. Number three, throw a party because I'm this far. Anyone else make lists like that? No? Okay. All right, good. My ESTJers are like totally tracking with me right now. So my dad was like, "You should try to read the whole Bible." And so I had this piece of paper where I wrote down like the date and where I stopped. And I wish I still had this thing, but I can see it vividly. Like I ripped through Genesis because there's a lot of like exciting stuff going on in Genesis. And then I hit Exodus and like Exodus is like, okay, that's like on par with Genesis. And then you can probably guess where my paper stopped. About like Leviticus 3, right? Because the crazy thing is that like the Bible goes from like narrative in these first two, like this fantastic true story with these amazing things going on, to suddenly what you pick up with like Leviticus is now God's people are in the promised land, and so they've got to learn how to do life. So like, here are some things God told them to do. And it changes genres on you out of nowhere. And that's the thing about like the books we read is you know at the start, okay, this is a biography. This is just somebody's story, or this is fiction. You know right up front, this is a story. And the Bible just shifts on you all over the place in what you're reading. So when we go to this thing, it's not the best book just to like open at the front cover and try to read it to the back cover, because it gets difficult and confusing. So I want to try to just give us a few things that we can take with us today. Right after my get serious about Jesus moment, I mentioned to you that my best friend had been like, you should read the Proverbs. And so I read the Proverbs. And then I jumped from there to the New Testament. And then I jumped from there to the Old Testament. And that took me a year and a half to wade through. And what I did originally was I used to read 5 chapters a day because 5 was like a well-round number. I was like, okay, I can do that. And then after a couple years, I started out at UW-Madison, and then like the Lord did a lot of stuff in my life, and I moved on to Bible college, and I met people who would read 5 verses a day. And I was like, whoa, you know, you're like, you're not going to finish the Bible for like 11 years. And they were like totally okay with that. So then I started doing like the 5 verses a day thing, and I went really slow. And then I met people that would like pick an epistle and read it the whole thing every day for like 2 weeks and like get immersed in like that epistle. And then I found out about like Bible reading tracks, and I've been through a couple of like those read a Bible in a year thing. And it's, I don't know if you've been to a Christian bookstore lately, but they have the 90-day Bible now. Where like if you will stick to the track, you can read the whole Bible in 90 days, which blows my mind. I did read a person one time who I was working at Arby's, and she found out I was the Christian that worked at Arby's, and she's like, oh yeah, I don't buy into all that. And I said, well, why not? She goes, well, I've read the whole Bible, and it doesn't make sense to me. And I thought, wow, it took me like 2 years, and I really wanted to. So I just said, well, how long did it take you? She goes, 2 days. My grandma wanted me out of the house. She took me to the library. I found a Bible. I read it till she picked me up, went back the next day, and I finished it. And my first thought was like, well, no wonder you missed the point of the Bible, because it's a really heavy and weighty book, and you read it in 2 days. So I tell you all of that to say I've kind of jumped all over the map in my following of Jesus of like, well, what's the best way? And I don't have a fantastic answer for you of what's the best way to read your Bible, but I got a few things that I think can help you. A couple things at the front of it. The Bible has some amazing things in it. And there are things that will fascinate us when you read the Bible, and it piques our interest. But ultimately, the Bible is not meant to fascinate us. It's meant to feed us. So when you decide, I want to learn from Jesus, my rabbi, we want to go to the scriptures hungry. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's as if Jesus is saying, like, hey, do you want more out of life? Well, I got you covered then. And the scriptures is one of the ways we feed our faith. So I've been through times in my life when I would read the Bible 45 minutes a day. I've been at times in my life when I would read it 5 minutes a day. And then I remember a pastor one time, and this just really connected with me. The pastor said, well, my scripture time is my feeding time. I read until I'm full. And I think that's a fantastic framework for, well, how long should I read my Bible? I think you should read your Bible until you feel full that day. Then, of course, the obvious thing is, well, how do I know when I'm full, right? So I want to give you, this is more or less what I do when I read the Bible is, I've had these journals because I told you that I was like, oh, Christians have Bibles and then they have a notebook. And I don't know what they're doing with that notebook. So if I ever let you look at my journals for the last 20 whatever years, they are the most random collection of stuff. But as I look back on them, I've always just like written down verses that jumped out to me. And I had a professor once in a class that just kind of gave this simple framework. This is something to do as you're reading the scriptures. You're reading along and you come to something that's interesting. And this is where, like, I just write stuff down because it jumps out to me. And I ask myself this first question, like, why did that stick out to me, right? Nolan kind of showed you that this morning with that Titus passage of that passage jumps out because, like, I can connect with it of, like, man, I'm on that list somewhere, and I used to be that way. But Jesus, in his kindness, appeared and he saved us. So you're reading through the scriptures, something jumps out. Just pause and stop on that. I mean, like, whoa, that was interesting. Then you want to ask yourself, why was that interesting? And this is that piece of where, like, there's fascinating stuff in the scriptures. But the Bible, remember, is not meant to fascinate us. It's meant to feed us. So you want to stop and ask, well, why did I think that verse jumped out? Why was that verse interesting to me? So we've stopped and said, okay, what is interesting? So what? Why is it interesting? And then the crucial thing is to ask yourself, so now what? What am I going to do with this information? I'll give you two examples. Jesus says, they will know that you follow me by your love for one another. So if I'm reading that someday in the scriptures, I might stop and say, oh, Jesus says that people can know I follow him the way I love other Christians. Well, why is that important? Well, Jesus said, other people will know that I'm a Christian by the way that I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so why is that important? The now what? That Jesus, my rabbi, is saying there should be something about the way I treat other Christians that sticks out and shows people that I follow him. And I'll give you one personal example. We didn't go this far last night in our talk. I don't know what went on in that girl's talk, but like there were blankets and pillows, and I was really jealous. I kind of wanted to sit in on yours. But I did my internship at a church in Southern Illinois, and I remember this stuck with me doing the talk, like with their high school kids, and he just threw out there, you know, having college roommates is going to prepare you for marriage better than dating will. And I was like, oh, interesting. And then like that whole next year in the house I was living in, you have conflict when you live with other human beings. I don't know if you've learned this yet in your own homes or maybe being in a cabin with 10 other people for a week. If you're going to put people together in like a close proximity, you have conflict. And so we were having this problem with a roommate, and I was reading in Corinthians when Paul was talking to the church in Corinth, and he starts talking to them about these lawsuits they're having against each other. So then my question really was, what? Like they're suing each other. And then he has this line where he says, why not rather be wronged? And I don't know anybody that thinks that way, right? Where you have a conflict and one person goes, fine, I'll just take that. But I remember stopping thinking, why not rather be wronged? Well, so what? Well, Paul's point was, instead of arguing as Christians, think of all the arguments Jesus ever got in. And think how many times he was wrong in those arguments, right? I mean, ultimately, like, you move on to his death. Like, how many things went on during that time where he had the authority to just step in and end it, and he didn't. So that was the so what part for me. And so then the now what was I just felt the Spirit of God was saying, like, just, like, let this conflict go. Like, don't keep pushing it for the sake of your house. So that's more or less like what I do with the scriptures. What? So what? Now what? Well, if you remember, there's us and there's Jesus, and then he has this book. And I left this on the triangle on purpose because this is something that I want you to, I think this is a missing piece that wasn't communicated to me when I was growing up. It was kind of always taught to me of like, hey, you're a Christian. And Christians have this Bible. Here's your Bible. Now you and Jesus need to go off into that prayer closet and like fix some stuff and figure life out together. And so this is where you're going to start reading your scriptures and there's just stuff going on in there that can be extremely confusing. We bought the Bible on CD so that we could just have it playing in our van when we're just driving places with the kids. And you learn if you just have the Bible going all the time, some of that stuff's not really for children in there. And so we would have to be quick on the trigger and like hit next one, yeah, skipping that entire book. And so this is what happens if you just read the Bible by yourself. You're asking yourself, okay, why is this interesting? Why is it important? What should I go and do with this? But it's possible for both you and I to have missed the point of what was going on in that passage. I'll give you one example. I worked a summer driving a truck that would pick up donations for a secondhand store. And every week, it was part of this ministry that had like men living there for the summer. And every week I'd get a new guy that would ride the truck with me. And we were out driving one day, and the first trip every morning was like this 25-minute drive. And so I just ask them, like, how's it going? And they would all share with me their life stories. And this one guy one day goes, did you know the disciples won't be in heaven? And I went, huh, no. I was under the impression that, like, Peter ran the gates and, like, let everybody in. Just kidding. That's not in the Bible. And I was like, wow, where did you get the idea that the disciples won't be in heaven? He's like, well, I was reading in Galatians this morning where Paul says, and I showed up and I didn't see any of the disciples. And I thought, man, I haven't read that. I gotta go back home and read in Galatians why the disciples won't be in heaven. Well, it turns out that this is one of these like weird passages where Paul is telling you his story. And I don't know if you know this from Acts, but like he got converted. And then there were like 14 years before he becomes like Paul the missionary. There's these little statements in Galatians that we piece that together. But that passage he read was when Paul first shows up at Jerusalem and he doesn't see the disciples. So he had read that passage exactly right, except for the part where it wasn't heaven. And like that's obviously like a really weird example. But the point is, you and I have the potential to just find stuff in the scriptures that don't actually mean that. So this is the triangle to me, is that as you're reading the Bible, invite other voices into your reading. Now, I don't mean like scary voices, right? Because that'd be weird. What I mean by that is, as you're asking yourself the triangle questions of what, so what, and now what, and when you feel like, hey, I think I learned this thing, go find somebody else that you trust is doing this same following Jesus thing and saying like, hey, I was reading this in the Bible this morning and I really think like it says this, or I feel like God wants me to do this. And with this other person in your life, that person, preferably like somebody who's a little older than you, maybe has followed Jesus a little bit longer than you, they can give you, yeah, I think that's what's going on in that passage. Or maybe they've read that passage. For me, this is like my pastor. For me, this is books. As you get older and you're reading Jesus' book, you want to invite other books in about the book. You want to invite like other books in by people that follow and love Jesus. And that this way, this is how we protect ourselves from making sure that if God has spoken, if our rabbi has told us how to live, we want to make sure that we're reading and understanding that rightly. So at this point in my life, for my money, like the best guide of like how to read your scriptures, I think when you feel like you're ready to take on the entire Bible, I love the discipleship journal Bible reading plan in a year. It gives you 4 readings a day. You start in, there's an Old Testament reading, a wisdom's reading, Gospels, and the Epistles. So like on January 1st, you'd be in Genesis 1, Psalm 1, Romans 1, and Matthew 1. So it gives you a picture of the entire Bible. I've been using for almost 2 years now the Book of Common Prayer, which gives you 4 readings every day, Old Testament, Wisdom, New Testament, and Gospels. One of the reasons I really appreciate that is because it helps you stay big picture. But again, I think if you want to start smaller, this is what I would say at this point in your life. Do any of you know the one book in the Bible that tells you right at the beginning it's for young people? Of the 66 books, which one tells you right at the jump, this is for young people? Take a guess. It's the Proverbs. Nice work. Big risk. Thank you for taking that risk. The Proverbs tell you at the front of the book, hey, this book is for young folk. So if you just don't have a place to start, that's a great place to start. And the thing about the Proverbs is there are 31 chapters of it. So just starting in the Proverbs and giving yourself just some wisdom, there's so much practical stuff in there that you'll just realize, hey, that stuff happens in my day all the time. And then with your Proverbs, the Psalms have been used by followers of God for thousands of years to learn how to pray. And the thing I love, one of the things I love about the Bible is it's just real. And the Psalms are where it gets really, really real. And so as you get into the Psalms, it's just like raw human emotion dealing with this God who can take that. And so I'm really big on start with the Proverbs, start with the Psalms every day, and then just jump into the Gospels. Because if the entire Bible is about Jesus, looking back as it was coming to him, and like now that he's come, it's never wrong to have this really solid foundation of who is Jesus. And Jesus still surprises me and makes me question stuff, even as I continue to go back through the Gospels and read it over and over and over again. So, last thing I'll give you. If the scriptures are not a regular part of your life, I am a big advocate for just starting small and having timers. I don't think it's unspiritual to have timers. So like if you don't pray like as a regular part of your life, I don't think Jesus has any problem with you like setting a 5-minute timer and just being like, I'm gonna start with 5 minutes. Or just like setting a 5-minute timer and saying, I'm gonna read the Bible. I don't think he's offended of how like it goes off and you're like, okay, Jesus, I'll see you later. Because I have kids and they all learn to walk at different stages. And we were never upset with them when they would like give up on their daily attempt to like walk that day. I wasn't Tiger Woods' dad. I've tried really hard to like not be Tiger Woods' dad, if you know anything about his father. So I think, and I'm a flawed father, but that's how I feel about my kids. I just have this strong feeling that what God wants from us in following him is he wants us to grow in our following of him. So that's what I would give you in regards to the scriptures. You want to let Jesus speak to you. You want to bring other voices in. And you want to just continue to grow in that. So start with the Psalms and the Proverbs. Bring the Gospels in. And continue to share what you're reading in the scriptures with other people. I want to close with our refrain that we did yesterday. And I will listen to you. Jesus, I will learn from your word. Jesus, I will listen to you. And I will follow just you. Listen that again. And I will listen to you. Jesus, I will learn from your word. Jesus, I will listen to you. I will follow just you. Jesus, we thank you that you have spoken. And that as we are learning to follow you in this eternal kind of life, you have not left us to figure this out on our own. So as we are in conversation with you and as you are stretching us and growing us, may we learn to love the scriptures and may we learn to let them be, as the psalmist says, a light unto our feet and a light to our path. So help us grow, Lord. Help us start small and help us continue to dig deep into the words of life that you have. And then, Lord, we also again ask for a blessing on our day. May we see you in new and exciting ways as we continue to follow you here at camp. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.